Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee, Rocky Top, Tennessee.
What's up, Revelation Wellness? I'm Aaron, one of the team members here, and I bet you can guess from the music where we're headed next for Rev on the Road. You got any guesses? We are headed to Knoxville, Tennessee, April the 12th and 13th. I'm going to be there, and I want to see you there. But you need to swipe up on the show notes and get registered before it's too late. Now, I'm going to be hanging out with you today, and I'm excited to be moving my body with you for this Revving the Word. And I believe God has a word for you because he had one for me when he gave me this message. And so we're going to move our bodies together, and I hope your heart, mind, and soul are challenged in the process. Donors, thank you for making episodes like this possible. And if you're listening, the way that we would love for you to give back is by leaving us a review and rating us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Now, without further ado, let's get going.
Getting the playlist started in 3, 2, 1, play. What's up, Revelation Wellness? I'm Aaron, and I am glad to be hanging out with you today. We're going to spend just a little bit of time together, around 30-ish, maybe a little more, minutes. And I want you to do you. If you're out for a walk, walk well. If you're out for a bike ride, bike well. If you're in the gym, you're at home working out, whatever you do, do it well. Scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, as unto the Lord, not unto man. Let me put it this way. Do it for the greater purpose, for God, not even for you. Do it for him. Get out and try to connect with him in whatever way you're doing it, moving your body today. So thanks for moving your body with me. And I'm going to let you do your workout. I'm not going to guide you in any way. I'm just going to talk to you. Maybe even preach to you a little bit. We're going to have fun together, spending some time together. So before we dive in, let me pray for us. And then I'm going to talk to you from 2 Timothy. God, we're grateful to be able to move our bodies together today. Touch our minds, move our hearts, strengthen our bodies for your service, your kingdom. It's not about us, it's about you. Have your way. Do a deep work inside of us today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 to you. It says this, I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is the word of God.
Yeah.
context here is that Paul is in prison in Rome, writing his second letter to Timothy, who is pastoring the church at Ephesus. What we know about this is that Paul considers Timothy probably his greatest son in the ministry. That there's something special about Timothy that Paul really decides that he's going to be Timothy's mentor and that he's going to be Timothy's coach. And so he wrote in his first letter called 1 Timothy to him about pastoring and such. And even in 2 Timothy, he talks about that, but he's really encouraging him here to fulfill his ministry. Timothy was young, we know that. He didn't want people to criticize Timothy, and he didn't want Timothy to bend and bow to other people's criticism of him, because he wanted him to see himself in the light that he was called and equipped by God to do the good work of ministry, and he wanted him to stay faithful to it. Most theologians and scholars think that this was Paul's last letter before he died. And so these are the last written words believed to be written by Paul. And he writes them to Timothy. And so he's telling him, hey, I'm going to leave. This is what's most important. And this is what he says. I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus. Look, he's saying this that I'm about to say, you have to do this. This is what's most important, Timothy. And so this is a strong charge. And he puts a lot of emphasis in this command. Look, I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus. In other words, they're here as my witnesses for you. This is serious, what I'm about to tell you. So I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom. So all of that's the intro to here's the charge. Verse 2. Here's what it says. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's the first thing he says. Preach the word. You know, we all have different ministries that we're called to, different things that we're called to in life, whether it's parenting. That's a ministry. Probably the most important ministry. Andy Stanley once said, the greatest contribution you make to the world may not be something you do, but someone you raise. I believe that to be true. You always want to let your ceiling be the floor of the next generation, especially in the faith, especially in the faith. It's not about us. It's about setting up the kingdom of God. But parenting is a ministry. Hey, spousing. Is that a verb? Spousing? It should be. Your marriage is a ministry. So if you're married, you have a marriage ministry. It doesn't mean you necessarily minister to other couples. However, your marriage should be a ministry to other couples by them just seeing the way you interact, seeing the way that you give grace, seeing the way that you freely forgive, seeing how you don't hold grudges, seeing, man, I could go on and on about this. The way that you live should be an example to other marriages around you of what it looks like to be healthy and whole in Christ. But your marriage, spousing, is a ministry, and it happens within the context of two people, not just outwardly. I don't even mean outwardly. Forget outwardly. You're doing it right, you need to understand that your wife, your husband, is your first ministry. So we got parenting, we've got marriage, I mean, there's so many other things. If you're a teacher, obviously, there's a ministry in teaching your students. If you're a doctor, there's a ministry in treating your patients. If you're a fitness teacher, there is a ministry in ministering to bodies and leading them through movement. If you're a boss, there's a ministry to your employees. Everybody you come in contact with. If you're a waitress, a waiter, a hairdresser, a checkout clerk. There's a ministry to those that God entrusts into your time, into your presence at specific times throughout the day. Don't think it's a coincidence that that angry person was brought into your path. It wasn't there to make you angry. It was so that when they came in contact with the person who'd been infiltrated and transformed by the love of Jesus, that maybe that would transform them, transform their heart, transform their mind, transform their day. They might have come in angry, but they're leaving blessed. Everything you do is a ministry. And here's what he says. Number one, preach the word. Here's my question to you. You ready to go there? I'm gonna be a little challenging today. Is that cool? Hey, you push play. So you ready for it? Is the word being preached in your parenting? Is the word being preached in your marriage? Is the word being preached in your fitness classes? Is your word being preached at the checkout line? Is the word being preached in whatever it is that you do to your employees, to your boss, to your coworkers, to those at the gas station, to your waitress, to those you serve as a waitress? Preach the word. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to speak the word of God to each other, over your marriage, in your marriage, through your marriage. One of the best things that you can do to help your children, whether they receive it or not, is preach the word, speak the word to your kids. It never returns void, and it goes further than anything that you think or say could do. Preach the word. And so a lot of times we think preaching involves speaking, and it surely does. But that is the least of what it does. It should be in the way that you live. Does forgiveness flow freely between from you to your kids, from you to your spouse, from you to your boss, from you to your coworkers, from you to the waiter or waitress, from you to the person you're serving as a waiter or waitress, from you to your employees, from you to your employer? All the ways. Does forgiveness flow freely? Because as Jesus said, as you forgive, you will be forgiven. That's preaching the word. Faith in action. The word acted upon. Living out the word. So here I'm telling you, preach the word. Don't just speak it. Do speak it, but don't just speak it. Live it. Practice it. You want to make anything in your life flourish, bring the word into it through the way that you live and the way that you speak, and watch what God will do with it. Come on. You feel the lightning, the thunder, your soul shakes under the roar of the heaven, the tide breaks, and from the ashes you will take your place. Oh, 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 here comes a comeback. What's the next thing he says? He says, preach the word, and then he tells him, be ready in season and out of season. Be ready. Be alert. Be prepared. Don't let your skill set get dull. In other words, preach the word, but know the word. Practice it. Be ready. Be alert. Don't let someone catch you off guard. Always be thinking about the kingdom and the ministry as you go about your day. Be thinking. Think about what you're thinking about. In other words, when he's saying be ready in season and out of season, here's where I take that for me is be present in every moment, but not just present for the moment for the sake of practicing presence, but practice the presence of Jesus. In other words, be aware of all times of who God's trying to influence through you in this moment. There's this postmodern Eastern philosophy of consciousness. And all it means is that you're aware of the moment. Practice being aware of the moment. And that way you're living in every moment. It's a great principle. However, the full principle isn't be alert in every moment. It's be alert of what God's trying to do in every moment, in every conversation, in every interaction. Don't get frustrated by an interruption, because the interruption might end up being a blessing that God's trying to get through you to somebody else. And the reason that we oftentimes don't see the great move of God in our lives, of God, we saw this in the Bible. We see this in so-and-so's life. We see it on Instagram. Why aren't you doing it in and through me? And he says, I think I'm convinced that this is kind of what it comes down to. I brought people into your day, but you didn't see them as someone they needed ministering to. You saw them as an interruption. You saw them as a bad part of your day. I sent them there so that the power of God could be shown through you into their lives, but that's not how you handled it. You weren't ready in season and out of season. So be ready in season and out of season. Be present in every moment for the sake of the kingdom of God. See the kingdom in every moment. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Number three, it's kind of a package deal, and it's what we're supposed to do with patience and teaching. Watch, he says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Now look, the church, as the church as a whole, we have a really big head and really little hands and feet. In other words, we know more than we practice. We're about 150 Bible verses overweight. They're just sitting there and we're not practicing them. We know way more than we put into action. In fact, just for your sake, in the previous chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 7, here's what he says about the current world that that Timothy was ministering in. But, I mean, it sounds like he's talking about us here in this decade, in this modern world that we live in. He says people are always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, him being the truth. We know more than we practice, and we think if we know more, we grow more, when in reality, we don't even know the truth, because if we did, it would set us free. But we become bound by our knowledge, bound by superficial intelligence that isn't connected to God and his kingdom. And what happens when we do this spiritually is we become the rule makers for everybody else around us, and it leads us to legalism, because we really want a correct rebuke. I mean, we're in, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, you shouldn't be seeing that. Hey, you shouldn't be saying that. Hey, you shouldn't. Or you should. And we should all over people. But he does tell us to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Because sometimes we're good at encouragement. But he doesn't leave it on its own. What does he say? He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. Don't correct someone without showing them the way to go. Don't rebuke someone without showing them the way to go. And when you do encourage someone, encourage them to continue in the way to go. But when you do, do it with not patience, great patience. Do it with big patience, abundant patience. That changes things, because now you're delivering the truth in love, not just the truth without love. Do it with great patience. And he goes on, he says, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. I mean, I think that's pretty evident in the culture we live in today. They'll turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. This is where we want to end up today in verse 5. Not you, Timothy. Not you, fitness teacher, gospel preacher. Not you, person listening to my voice. Not you, Revelation Wellness. As for you, you exercise self-control in everything. We're just going to stop right there. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. In everything. I want you to go ahead, and for the next few moments, I want you to calibrate your today. I want you to calibrate today based on that statement. But as for you, are you exercising self-control in everything? I think that's where I think that's where the rubber meets the road for us, because, see, we exercise self-control in some areas. We got it down. Like, for instance, when I get up in the morning, I go straight downstairs. I grab a cup of coffee. I put a little cream in my coffee. Healthy cream. I like healthy cream. I like this specific creamer that I have. I put it in my coffee and I sit down on the couch next to my wife in the dark with a reading light. She's already up. She's been up about 30 minutes before me, and she's deep in scripture. So I sit down beside her, top off her coffee, and we sit down beside each other and dive straight into the word. That's self-control. I do that on the daily. And so it's easy for me to think, I'm doing good. But let's not be confused, because I'm not exercising self-control in everything. So I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to give you a moment to ponder it. How you doing exercising self-control in everything? Instead of thinking of what you do exercise self-control with, I'm just going to give you a minute to think about the things where maybe your self-control lacks. You ready? Let's think about it. All right, as for you, exercise self-control in everything. I ain't talking just about what you eat. I'm not talking about stuff like that. Though, maybe we could all use a little self-control in what we consume. But what about our mind? Controlling our mind, not letting us jump into fear, but diving headfirst into love with every decision. Did I make that decision out of fear or one out of love? Did I parent from the self-control not to get angry? Could I have been more patient as a parent, as a spouse? Did I respond correctly? Could I have thought that through more? Let's practice self-control in everything. Watch this. Here's why I waited for this one. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. And then he says, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, be living your life in such a way and speaking in such a way that you're leading people to me. Here's a really tough question they used to ask me a lot as a kid in the church I was raised in. I'm going to ask it to you. Let's put it this way. What if your relationship with Jesus was measured by the amount of people that know Jesus because of you? I'm not saying it is. It's just a question. What if it were? See, when I was a kid, we used to say stuff like, well, tell that to the thief on the cross. Yeah, well, that's one out of billions. I don't want to be the random exception to the rule, right? I want to be the example to follow. Do the work of an evangelist. That's why we're still here. That's why we do what we do, is to point people to Jesus through the way we live, the way we speak, the way we love. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, I'm going to take this last phrase and connect it to what we're talking about. And then he says, fulfill your ministry. Oh, now that I can do. I want to speak. I want to pray. I want to be in front of people. I want to do the things that are ministry related. I want to serve people. I want to do all these things that we're supposed to do, right? Like, oh, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to fulfill the ministry. Like, that's why I'm here, bro. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about fulfilling the ministry. Let's talk about doing that. Okay, you ready? Let's talk about it. Let's get excited and talk about it. You ready? As for you, exercise self-control in everything. Wait, I thought we were going to talk about the ministry thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought we were going to talk about being on the stage or being in the prayer room or just near the action in some way. Like, let's talk about that. Oh, no, I'm talking about the ministry. This is one phrase that is summed up by fulfill your ministry. What is your ministry? it's exercising self-control in everything, doing the work of an evangelist. And here's the middle one, and I saved it for you, because this is ministry and I don't want you to miss it. Endure hardship. Oh, that is uncomfortable. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that when you go through some hard crap in your life, you are fulfilling your ministry. Your ministry is enduring hardship. If you don't ever have hardship in your life, you don't have a ministry. I'm gonna say it again. If you don't have hardship ever in your life, you can bet your bottom dollar that you're not doing or fulfilling your ministry. Sure, you might be doing ministry according to the world standards of ministry. You might be preaching, you might be singing, you might be praying. You might be doing all the right things. But if you're not enduring hardship, you're not doing ministry, because ministry is enduring hardship. That is fulfilling your ministry. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do ministry through the world standards, because it doesn't get me anything later. That's not what he's called me to. He hasn't called me to ministry by the world standards. He's called me to his ministry. So if I'm really trying to do his work, then I need to do it his way, by his definition. So I'm going to exercise self-control in everything. That's ministry. I'm going to endure hardship. That's ministry. And I'm going to do the work of an evangelist. That's ministry. Because when I do those three things specifically, I am fulfilling my ministry. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I say all that to say this to you. I'm going to encourage some of you today. You've had a couple years from hell. You just can't seem to get a break. It's one thing after another. And even though some things may go up, they go back down. Or it's a struggle. Your kids aren't going the way that you raised them to go. Struggling with some of the decisions that they're making. Your finances might be going in a wrong direction. You might be seeing no fruit in a lot of labor. Working hard in the trenches, following the voice of God, doing what you believe God has called you to, but it just seems to not be getting anywhere and no one's hearing it and there's no traction here. The numbers aren't going up. There's certainly an indicator and they're not going up. It's a struggle. It's hardship. And here's what I want to tell you, if that's where you are today. When I say endure hardship, and you can picture something in your mind of, oh yeah, I relate to that. I feel like I'm enduring some hardship. I feel like I have, and I feel like I am. I want you to know something today. Number one, you're not alone. For there is one who has been touched with every one of our infirmities so that he can walk with us in and through them. The one who will never leave us nor forsake us. The one who says, take heart, I've already overcome the world. It doesn't mean you don't have to walk through it, but I've already overcome it for you. You're gonna win. You just need to endure. Endure hardship. The hardship will not kill you. You will conquer the hardship, but you have to endure the hardship. You've gotta keep going. Take one more step. Because the next step you take could be your breakthrough moment. It could be the moment where you've endured the hardship and now you're stepping through that particular one. Take one more step. But here's why it's encouraging. Not just because the next step may be the one of breakthrough. And while that's true, here's what I want you to know. That if you're enduring hardship, it is proof that you are fulfilling the ministry that God has called you to. Hardship is one of the fruits of ministry. I know it sounds backwards. I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm just reading scripture to you. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's your ministry. Enduring hardship. Why? Because when somebody else is walking through something and you give them hope, they can see that they can get through it because they've seen you walk with God through hardship, because there's nothing too great for Him, that there is no giant too big for Him. There is no valley of shadow of death that's too deep, too dark, too scary, from the depths of the sea to the highest of heights. He is with you, He is for you, and you can endure because the one who endured for you has already overcome, already conquered, and made you more than a conqueror through Him who gave Himself for you. Endure hardship. It is not there to beat you down. It is there to strengthen you to go forward. When I lift weights, I like to lift weights. That's my way of working out. The harder I lift, the harder the struggle, the more I'm getting strong. If I never struggled while lifting weights, I would not be able to improve my strength. And now the stronger that I am, because I've endured more hardship through weight training, the stronger it makes me, which means the stronger now, the more I'm able to help somebody else that needs help because I have the strength to be able to do it, whereas I may not have been able to do that before. See, even when I endure hardship, it's not for me. It's always about what He wants to do through me. So endure hardship, fulfill your ministry. Right. As we wrap up here in just a minute, I'm going to bring it home to you. I'm going to just read verse 2 and verse 5 again. And again, this is Paul to Timothy, and he's charging him the most important charge as he ends his life. He's like, I need you to know one more thing, Timothy. As you're about to take over everything that I've set up, preach the word. That is always primary. Preach the word. It's above everything. It's not wrong just because you don't believe it. Things you disagree with doesn't mean it's wrong. It means you're wrong. Align yourself with what the Word of God says and watch how you'll be blessed. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. See the kingdom in every moment. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. And as for you, the world's going to go its own way, but as for you, and if you can hear my voice, I'm telling you, as for you, exercise self-control in everything. It will save you from a multitude of pain in your life. Take it from me. Exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Keep going. Because when you feel like you don't have it, there's someone that has you. Do the work of an evangelist. In fact, when you endure hardship and the world sees it and your friends see it, you're doing the work of an evangelist because they know there is no way that you could have gotten through that on your own. That there is one in heaven that got you through that hell. And it points to who He is. And when you do those things, fulfill your ministry. That's your ministry. Fulfill it. That's what you're called to. Fulfill your ministry. Be faithful. Keep going. He's got your back. He's walking with you. And he's for you, not against you. You don't have to do it in and of your own power, because it's not about you. The blessing is always trying to get through you. That's why it's called ministry. The hardship's not about you. The self-control's not about you. The work of an evangelist isn't about you. Preaching the word's not about you. Seeing the kingdom of heaven at every moment is not about you. Correcting, rebuking, encouraging with great patience and teaching, none of that stuff is about you. It's ministry, which means that as you go about doing it, God will do his work through you. It's always about what he wants to do through you to someone else around you. And if you just let that happen and put yourself to the back so that you can minister to the people around you and be aware of that, you'll see that in the middle of it, you're the one getting the blessing as he's blessing others around you. That, my friends, is ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Peace.
We say, hallelujah. You're a faithful, faithful God. Yes, you are. We have a grateful, grateful